I think most of people know him, right? Pastor Stephen is the youth pastor at UCBC. We're happy that he is here to share the message with us today.
That one? Good morning. It's a good pleasure to meet all of you, and it's really stirred my memories back. You know, like I thought it was almost 20 years ago. Is that right? No, close to 20 years ago. And I used to be here, and after freshly graduated from Wichita State, and I was here. I remember that. It's really bring back a lot of memory to be here. And of course, I know a few of you, and I just feel like it is great to be in the kingdom of God, because it doesn't matter where you go, and we are brothers and sisters, right? And so it is always a joy to see all of you, and I really thank God and thank you for this privilege to allow me to share God's word, to encourage each other. And so today, as I was thinking about what kind of message that I should be given, and I thought that we all coming here to worship God, and I just hope that, you know, all our worship, wherever we go, will be a sweet fragrance to God, right? And so so it is very important. But when I was looking out for the passage that, you know, that I talk about sweet fragrance, I realized that Philippians has a slightly different insight about this sweet fragrance. So this is why this morning we are going to learn about it. So let's bow our head and pray again. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the rain, and we thank you for all the blessing that you give us. But we thank you sometimes that you give us some thorn. Sometimes you let us go through some uncomfortable environment. But we know you are in control all the time. But Father, we just ask that you help us to refocus, reset our focus on you. No matter what's going on surrounding us, we want to set our heart on you, to fix our eyes on you, because you are our God and our Savior. So, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit to fill in us this morning, filling us with joy, so that when we worship you, we will feel your presence this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I feel so far away from you guys, you know. And I just told email that this is, you know, normally considered a spit zone for speakers. So it's happened to the same to you know, in the first three row, nobody can sit there. So you guys are really brave. Okay. Well, we've just read the passage. How many of you really, Before you enjoying a meal, you like to smell first. You don't? You don't smell your food? You're kidding. All right. Well, let me see. That will help you, okay? Sense of smell is very important. Okay? So, what would you do when you see something like this? Your mouth will be watering, right? If barbecue, it's summer, so, you know, a lot of you will be out on the grill and doing some man stuff there, right? Man cooking there. Alright, so, being mostly Asian, so if you look at something like this in one of a Chinese restaurant, you probably think, you know, something's hot and spicy, right? It will start, you know, your mouth will be all watery. And so, let me give you one more test. How many of you have tried the king of the fruit before. You know what this is? Durian. You don't know? You missed the best thing of the world. Really. I mean, coming from Oasia, I mean, this is our favorite fruit. We call it the king of the fruits. It has a really strong sense of smell. Even if you hide it in the closet back there, you can smell it. And it is actually banned in hotel. I'm not kidding. It is. It's that strong. But to some people, you know, in Malaysia, they love it so much. They have a slogan saying that they even were willing to sell their own sarong to eat the durian. Meaning, sarong is the only, you know, piece of cloth that covers the body for the Malay. And they were willing to sell it off, be naked, and just to get to eat the durian. That's how much they love it. But to most of the foreigner, especially first timer, your reaction would be like this. So anyway, and I think sometimes with this passage we had this morning, fragrance. Sometimes, like, you know, we worship in the house of God, and I wonder that if God sit up above in heaven, I wonder that he is actually like sitting in a 4D theater. And now 3D is, you know, you see all the 3D thing. 4D, have you been to a 4D theater? There is some in Taiwan and some, you know, they have smell. You know, I have really experienced, but I read about it, okay? I read about it. You can have the sense of smell, too, that you know. So God is sitting up there, and while we're worshiping, would you wonder what kind of smell we're bringing to him? This is the image that I want to give you this morning. Every Sunday, as we're coming to church to worship him, what kind of smell, what kind of fragrance we are bringing to him? Okay? All right? Okay, let's go on. So, we hope that we are bringing sweet aroma to God. Now, bringing sweet aroma to God, it doesn't start from the New Testament. And actually, in Genesis, the word already appeared. Like something like this. I'm just taking one occasion where Noah, after the great flood, after the water had receded, then Noah got out of the ark, and what did he do? He built an altar, and of course this is not the true picture. I'm just, you know, he built an altar and he burned. He sacrificed some animals. Let's read this together. Genesis 8:21. 1, 2, go. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures that I have done." The fragrance, the smell was so good that even God was like, "Oh, I forgot what, you know, it's okay. I'm happy." Not just like, you have, when you're eating a happy meal there, right? Then you're satisfied. Propitiation in one of the biblical words, meaning that God's wrath has been satisfied. And when he's satisfied, he said, "Okay, never again I will punish human in this way anymore." And this has become sweet aroma. He is satisfied. He is happy. Like that. So in the same sense that, you know, we this morning, we can ask ourselves this question. As you are coming to the church, whether you have been dragged by your parent or, you know, you think, "Oh, this is a Sunday. So this is my duty to fulfill. So I just come to church." Whatever you think. But I want you to think of this. If you believe this God is real, as your offering today is going to be a sweet aroma, pleasing aroma to God. I mean, your presence here in this church, do you think God is happy to see you this morning? And when you offer, when you give your money this morning, do you think God is happy with you? Think about that. Personally, is your relationship with Him okay this morning? Something to think about. Okay? Not only that, I want to expand that. Is our church a pleasing aroma to God? You know, have we been working together as a church? Or are we trying to do something different? Or, you know, we've been arguing because, you know, we have different opinion. When God looked down at us, does He feel like, oh, this is my church? Or does He feel like this is stinky tofu? Well, some people like stinky tofu, right? or something bad. But, you know, this is the two questions that I want to bring to you. That you just think about it. Okay? Now, the Philippians, we know that the letter to the Philippians, that this Philippians was the first church established by Paul in the Macedonian area. It's not in Asia, it's in the Macedonian area. So Paul took great pride in this church because they have been a really good church. Not rich church, but really good church. And they, in turn, this Philippians had been great partner with Paul. And he said that's why it's kind of awkward to start with 14, but of course if you need to go back to the context. He said, yet it was good of you to share my troubles. The letter, this book of Philippians, a lot of people misinterpret it as a book of joy. Right? When you read it, there's a lot of joy. You need to be rejoice, and I say again, rejoice. But in fact, it is not so much about rejoice. Rejoice is the result, or you need to. The book of Philippians actually emphasizes on working together as partner for the gospel, for advancing gospel. So, rejoice is the result after working together. So, the partnership here, it says that, well, I am so glad that we work together as partner. Where was Paul at the time he wrote this book, this letter? Care to guess? He was in a very smelly place. He was in the prison. He was in the prison, okay? But he said that it was good that you guys were working with me. So, Paul, in a couple of passages, Paul often mentioned of them that, you know, how much they were related to each other, how much they think of each other. Like, words like, since I have you in my heart. Okay, for modern world, this sentence would apply to couples, right? I have you in my heart. Okay, Michael, since I only know you, and, you know, would you tell your brother and say, since I have you in my heart? You probably, no, okay. But Paul is actually telling, you know, the brothers and sisters, since I have you in my heart. Not only that, this, in grammar, it can also be translated, since you have me in my heart. That means they both long for each other, they both desire for each other, they miss each other so much. Okay? This is how close they are. And then Paul, even in the letter, said that he struggled. He said that if I have to choose, I have a choice to choose whether I should remain on earth or I should go to Christ to die. If he were to choose. You know, his first choice would be going with Christ. They think that going with Christ is the best thing. But he says something different. He says that, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. I'm not very used to this one. Keep flipping, because I have many things in my ear. I need to bend it? Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I apologize because I have many things in my ear. I'm wearing hearing aids. I need to wear this. So. Anyway, so it says that it's necessary for me to remain here. For your sake, I will stay. I won't die. Okay? And then he said, whom? You whom I love and long for. In a language like this, Paul really, and here, it starts saying that loyal yoke fellow. We are partner. We share the work together. And in other words, that's why I can say, I love you guys. But of course, not, it's different kind of love, right? And it's buddy love. It's like fellowship. It's like, you know, we partner, we work together. Okay? And here it says that, you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned. Meaning that they were concerning for Paul because being in the prison. Now, since when in the last time you think of your fellow brothers and sisters in church when you're in trouble? This is kind of show how close you are in your church. You know, I know for a lot of young people think that, well, growing up your own church, you know, it's my parents' church. But I think to some point we need to realize that this is a church that we grew up. A lot of good things in there. We need to cherish. But if you are going to serve in this church, you need to love this church. Not only love this church, you need to serve in the church. So much that, you know, everyone here would be our partner for gospel. So, we need partners like Philippians in our ministry, evangelism and mission. Nobody can do God's work by himself. No one. Joseph would not be able to lead the worship every Sunday. Everyone needs to be in part of this ministry. Don't say that you don't have a gift. If God put you here, you have a part in God's ministry. We need to tell ourselves, we need to be blunt, to say to God, what do you want me to do? Ask him. Don't run away. Don't say that I have enough trouble. You know, stay away. I have my business to do. Stay away. If you are in this family, you should serve. How many of you in your family that you do not need to do your dishes? You should not do your cleaning. You should not make your bed. How many? No. It's your family. This is family chore. This is family thing. You should do it together. And this is the big family, family of God. So we should do it together. Amen? Amen? Okay? You promised him, not me, okay? So, we need to do it for the kingdom of God. And we have many gifted people in this church. Especially when I look at the young people, I know many of you are very, very gifted. I know a couple of you. And, you know, sometimes it's not really about performing or showing off. It's about whether God wants you to serve or not. If you're willing to do it, willing to learn it, God will bless you. I've seen a sister, I went to Topeka, and I preached there, and they don't have a pianist. So a sister willing to volunteer, okay, I will play. So, okay. She went on and take piano lessons. She was over 50 years old already. So she's willing to be a pianist. And guess how she started? One finger. Don't let everybody say, oh, we all sing together. Okay. 1 year later, she began to use two hands. Well, still one note, but two hands. It's a lot better, right? And then 2 years later, and she began to try some, you know, chords and everything else. And God bless her. I think that shame those who knows how to play the piano and never serve God. Because God used her more than anyone else. God doesn't care how talented you are, how talented you are. God cares how much you want to serve Him. So if you have gift, go serve Him. Don't waste your gift. Pray to God and serve in the church that would use your gift for God. Don't think that you come to a church to sit there and wait to be spoon-fed. You're not a baby. We need to do something. We need to serve. Find a way to serve with humility. Don't think that, oh, I know this, let me do this. No, with humble hearts, serve. For the growth of the church, serve with only one goal in mind, to bring people to God. What's the purpose of serving each other? Eventually, we have one goal, to bring people to God. When people see that we serve together, and we have joy, and we love one another, do you think people won't come to this church? They will. They will see, wow, this is a loving church. Right? This church smells good. I will come. Not only that, this church, they partner with Paul, they actually also supported Paul financially. So he says that when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. When Paul was in his ministry, only one church supported his ministry. That was in the Philippines. The Philippines, the church was not very rich, but they supported him. And here he says also, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. And Paul in 2 Corinthians mentioned also about this church. He told the Corinthians church, say that out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty well up in rich generosity, even though they are not very rich, but they're willing to give. They're willing to give for the ministry. So, not only that we need to partner with our own church, we need to learn to give to our ministries. Local church ministries, we need to give. If you make money, you should give and honor God. You should. Don't do it until you're like after 40, 50 years old. Because you, by that time, you probably make a tons of money and you will not, it's very hard for you to give. When you start your career, start learning. Even you can start with, you know, the money that your mom and dad give you, you just go ahead and give, and learn to do that. Not only to learn to give in this church, but also other ministries. There's so many ministries out there. We also need to learn to give. So, not only that the Philippian church was partnered, they supported Paul, they sent people out to Paul. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Epaphroditus was the people, or a brother, that was sent for Paul. And here it's also mentioned, but I thought it is necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. So you see, how this church supported Paul's ministry is that, you know, he sent his brother to help Paul while he was in prison. And Paul regarded him as fellow brother. Not only fellow brother, fellow worker, that's closer, right? Work together. Not only fellow worker, fellow soldier. Okay, would you guess why he called him soldier? That's another language that is very popular in the Philippian city, Philippi. That where? Why? Because this city was a veteran city, full of soldiers after the battle. But Paul meant to use this word, saying that, hey, we fight the battle together. We advance the gospel together. We fight this battle together. So that's why, I don't know if you know anyone that was in the army. Do you know anyone? I have one friend that told me that, you know, when he was in the battlefield, the most important thing for him is to take care of his fellow soldier. That's the only thing that he wanted to do. The same way his fellow soldier would think the same. Take care of each other. That's why no wonder they can say, I love you, but really. Okay? So we need to learn to do this, mobilizing our church members. It doesn't matter how big your church is. Encourage the young people, and of course the old people too, to do ministry. You don't have to sit in this church 24/7. Our goal is not sitting here. Our goal is go and make disciples. We want to help our brothers and sisters to grow. We need to disciple them. Go. There's the ministry. Go. We need to help them to grow in that sense, to be in a mission trip, ministry, and a church that we want to not just come and worship only. We want to help brothers and sisters to be bold enough to share the gospel. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? A week ago? 2 weeks ago? A month ago? 6 months ago? Or a year ago? I hope not 20 years ago. Isn't that our Lord's Great Commission? And should we still be sitting here and do nothing? So, this church has been partnered with Paul, sending money and also sending people for his mission. And the Philippians ministry, they are, and Paul's eye is a fragrance offering to God. Paul has been very happy about what they've done to him. So I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. He said, I have enough from you guys. You guys give me so much. And he also told the Corinthian church that in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive, that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Meaning that Paul actually have the right to receive support from anyone that he preached to. Paul said that here. Okay, he said, I have right to collect money from you guys because I found a church. But Paul said, but we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Because the purpose of church is to further advance the gospel. If, Paul said, if I'm taking money from you and causing the hindrance for the gospel of Christ, I'm not going to take money from you. So that you will not complain about it. This is Paul's attitude. So he's happy. It doesn't matter whether he received money or not. He said, because more importantly, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, because he regards preaching the gospel is more important than receiving the money. But unfortunately, a lot of pastors and ministers nowadays, they go to seminary school to do what? Like a professional job. They just think of, oh, this is a job. But, you know, this is supposed to be a calling. And if it is the calling, you don't mind, you don't even care whether how much money you're going to make for it. This is Paul's attitude. That's why he's very happy about his support. And Paul regards that they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And here, the fragrant offering, when I studied the book of Philippians, I tried to think, why would Paul mention fragrant offerings? And in fact, Paul mentioned a few offerings in this book. One is here. Say in verse 2:17, it says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all you all. Paul said that even if I had to die in the ministry, poured out like a drink offering. Okay, if I'm poured out on the sacrifice, in the Old Testament time, then, you know, they not only offer burnt offering. Along with the burnt offering, sometimes they will give grain offering. They will also give the water offering or litigation, whatever. You know, they will pour wine along with the offering. Paul is saying that, you know, he would die for this ministry. But when I look carefully here in the Greek word service, the blue one is that end there, I don't know, yeah, the end there, oops. Okay. The end there can also be translated in this sense that if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice, that is ministry resulted from your faith. Meaning that Paul would be happy to die along with what the Philippian church has done. In a service. Paul recognizing what the Philippian church is doing is a sacrifice. And it is, that's why Paul is saying, I'm happy because even I die, I'm serving with you. I'm side by side with you. It's okay. I'll be glad. We die. We are together. Something like that. So, not only that, if I trace back, and he says that, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. And I, after looking back from there, I often ask myself why Paul would mention so much, stress so much about being blameless and being pure. Because everything that the Philippians are doing, they are offering a sacrifice. Can you offer a blind sheep on the altar? A lame one? No. You would offer a good one. So that's why Paul said that, if you trace back, that you need to be blameless and pure without fault. So that even when I had to die, I would be right beside you. You are offering yourself as blameless and pure sacrifice along with me. Okay? And it has to be faultless. Here, fragrance. So how do we serve as faultless sacrifice? So here he says in verse 12 in chapter 2, 14 and 16, something like that. He said that you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He encouraged the church to work out his salvation. Okay, this is the difficult verse. What do you mean by work out your salvation? When do you get saved? You get saved because you do a lot of work? Right? You get saved because you believe in Jesus Christ. But why then work out your salvation? Why do we need to work out our salvation? This is what the word, original word said. Work out your salvation. And here Paul meant that, yes, we're saved by grace, by faith also. But our faith is a long process. Our faith is not like you believe only. Your belief, your faith should carry out your work. The work would be furthering, advancing the gospel. You need to work out your salvation in that way. You need to do it. And without doing everything without complaining. You want to be pure and faultless serving in the church? No complaints. No arguing. Not for the sake of it at least. And hold out the word of life. And you want to serve the God here? Serve God here, you need to stand firm in God's word. That's true. That's how we can be faultless sacrifice there. So, if I kind of summarize it, so we begin. We begin with pure faith, and then Paul teaches them that we need to be blameless people. And then, blameless people, we should continue on and in the holy ministry. And fragrance offering. When we are blameless, and then we join the holy ministry, and then we will be fragrant offering, then leads to pleasing to God. That's how it's supposed to be in this. Can I not using this? Okay. Alright. And Paul in turn pray for them. He said, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Fruit here is to bring people to God. Bring people to Christ. So I'm not asking you for more gift, but I pray that your church will bring more people to God. This is Paul's prayer in that. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And he also prays that God will give you richly. God will supply to you richly in your ministry. God will provide for His ministry to bring His people to Christ. So, pleasing aroma. Philippian church ministry was pleasing to God because they partnered together to advance the gospel. Two, they supported Paul's ministry financially. Three, they sent people to Paul's ministry. This is fragrance aroma to God. So, if God is smelling us this morning, is He going to be like this? Or is He smelling this morning? I think it's time for us to come before Him and really reflect on ourselves. What do you smell like this morning? So what do we learn today? We need to partner together for the gospel. Whether you are junior high, senior high, college, you're adult, we need to work together. We need each other. We learn to give to support ministry. Not just our local church, but also many others. Like the earthquake in Nepal, You know, there's a lot of needs we need to learn to give. We need to learn to send people. I just got back from China, and I was really happy to have that experience. But I was training a group of young people who want to be a minister. And they were like 18 years old to 29 years old. And they were really, really pure. And they just had a heart to serve. We need to serve. Not only serve, we need to train people to serve. We not only train people, we need to train people and send them out. I would say there's no more joy than seeing our own young brothers and sisters raising up to be a servant of the Lord. There's no other joy than seeing this. Because ministry like this will be a fragrant offering as a church that is pleasing to God. So personally, do you smell good this morning? I'm not saying that you put a lot of perfume on anything. Do you smell good this morning? Are you in good terms with God? And secondly, how is our church doing? Is our church smelling good to God? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We pray that, Lord, once again your word convict us. Help us to stand before you and ask for your forgiveness. Father God, we pray that we would be sweet aroma to you, pleasing to you. We ask that, Lord, you bring us back to you, rebuild relationship with us, reconcile with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to come back to you and serve you. Father, we also ask that, Lord, that you will help us to build this church together, because it will be sweet aroma to you. I just pray that, Lord, you bless this church and you use every one of them, that this church will be exalting your name in this community, will bring people to you for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.